Take your Bibles tonight if you would. That was a blessing, was it not? It is always a blessing to see a family sing together. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3. Tonight I do want to be right in that area. It is a blessing that we can look back at a time, if you're saved tonight, and see that God took your place. I'm going to get wired up with this thing here if you guys are going to make the transition while you're turning. In case I get mobile. I'm not planning on that. I'm planning on being teaching tonight. But just in case, you know how it is in the day school, they get riled up sometimes and you got to get preachy when you ought to be teaching. Amen. But I know y'all don't think that that's what happens, but when you're up here looking at, out at the crowd and they start giving you them eyes like, I don't know about that. Amen. Then the teaching turns to preaching. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3. I don't think it'll get like that tonight, but I do covet the opportunity to be behind the sacred desk of my preacher. Don't take it lightly. I hope tonight that the Bible study will be a help to you in your life. As Christians, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He'll save you just like that. If you put your faith and trust in Him, and then the finished work of Calvary. But for those of us that are saved tonight, the Bible is going to tell us here in this chapter to let the peace of God rule in our lives. And so many times as a Christian, we have so many things, and I just want to take and try to expound the Bible a little bit in this area. Not that I'm an expert by any means, but I just want to take us and remind us again that there's a constant conflict between the old man and the new man. And that as we, as Christians, we have to let the new man, let the peace of God. Okay, we can overtake what God has given us in victory, and we can shackle ourselves back to the old man and live in a way that's not pleasing to God and doesn't help us. Can everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. But I want to be living for the new man. I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do that and be that would be pleasing unto Him. And so we ought to always be progressing that way. Here in the Scripture, there is no New Testament book outside of, I mean, Romans is the preface book on peace. If you want to know, and again, we have peace through God, amen, because of what, with God, because of what Christ did on Calvary. So peace came through that taking down of the middle wall of partition. The Bible uses the word enmity between you and I and God, but when we were in our sins, but now because we're in Christ, it's different. We can have peace. We can have the peace of God. It's not a peace that you or I could muster up or in any way manufacture. It is a peace that only God could bring to man, and only the God-man could purchase it and deliver it to you and I.
Amen.
And so peace of God, and for you and I don't know about you, but we live in a chaotic world. I don't believe if I turned the news on tonight, I haven't had a chance to look at it, something would make the old man mad. And before it's over with, it'd make the new man mad too. Over the way our country's going or decisions that our government's made or things that's on there that people think. I can't watch a television show outside of the news where they don't have some type of homosexual on there that makes the new man angry and says, that's not right. And so we're constantly bombarded with things that are going to affect us. And we have to, again, but I don't want to be affected to the place where I don't love the world. We're not supposed to love the world, but I ought to be a witness to them. And I don't want to get so mad with the world that I'll never go and witness to the people because they're lost in their sin. Now, I may not have been in what they're in, or in the depths of wherever they're at, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't get saved just like this if somebody witnessed to them, just like I was when I was lost and undone without Christ. And so tonight I want to take the Bible, if I could, just for a few minutes, and I just want to show you some things from this chapter about how to deal with this life. All right? Just some simple things. If that's what you want to title for the, I mean, that's the best I could give you tonight, brother, all right? Amen, was how to deal with this life, all right? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and to give us something from His book tonight. Dear Jesus, I do thank You for Your many blessings. I do pray for my preacher tonight, dear God. I love him, and I pray that You'd heal him. I pray that You'd use the medicine. If he goes to the doctor, dear God, I pray you'd help him with it. I pray you'd just heal him up and bring him back to us, dear God, that you give him strength. I pray that you take this cold that he has and take it from him. I pray that you be with Brother Perkins again tonight as you brought him to my mind once again. We love him, and I pray that you'd heal his body, that you'd help him to recover. Be with all the others on our prayer list, but God, tonight I beg you that you would be with me, that you would hide me behind your cross and just let me be your mouthpiece. I pray that you would do, Holy Spirit, what I can't do, that you would go and deal with hearts with your word. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Colossians, if you'll start at the beginning of the chapter, that's not where we're going to spend our time, but for context's sake, we'll go to the beginning of the chapter, and I want you to see the very first few verses here. We'll see, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I believe this above all else. If we could just get the context of the beginning of the chapter, it would help us overall with everything that we deal with in this life. So many times our affections are towards a country. I love this country. I'd die giving my life to defend it. Never been asked to do so yet, but again, I would today. If paratroopers were to land in the lawn, I would run with you with this mic stand and attack those people, and I would defend my country, my family, and my freedom with my life. But at the same time, let me say this, all right? The place that I'm going and the country that I'm looking to go to is much better than this country. I am a sojourner in this life, and even though that I was born with the privilege of freedom of being an American, there is a better country that I look forward to being a part of. There is another place, and so I have to be careful not to set my affections on things that are below, that are earthly things. I've got to be careful not to set my affections, not just in this place. And listen, I want you, there's a lot of our students here that are from other nationalities, and I want them to be as proud of their country, even though ours is better. But anyway, so we can argue, and I know all of you all are the same way, you know, about your football team and everything. We were arguing today. Somebody was a Packer fan, a bunch of cheeseheads. But anyway, so again, but whatever it is that you care about, we've got to be careful where we set our affections. We got to be careful how we live our lives, because again, our affections and what we love will affect us. It'll change our direction sometimes. It'll mess with us. It'll take care. Listen, it'll drag the new man down and bring the old man out if we're not careful, because our affections are in the wrong place. Let me read the verse to you again after I've made the statement. If ye then be risen with Christ. That means if you got in that baptismal tank, and if you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, that you are not baptized believer. Listen, that baptism, listen, that don't save anybody. Let me remind you, okay? But listen, it pictures something. It pictures the death. Let me burying the old man. And when I come up, it's a new walk with Christ. The old man stayed under the water and the new man came out and I left him back there. Now, we all know that that is a picture, okay? Because the new man came swimming out, didn't he? I tried to leave him behind, but it's supposed to be, listen, I'm supposed to have a new walk. I'm supposed to be risen with Christ. All right, and he says here this, I love this, he says, risen with Christ, seek those things. This means that this is not something that's always going to come natural. That means it's going to be a pursuit, and sometimes it's a trivial pursuit. Sometimes it seems like God, listen, there will be times in your life as a believer that you will feel like God is afar off, but he is just simply turning back to him away from you. But it will feel different than that. This Christian life is a time, listen, we have to seek those things which are above. Listen, it comes easy to seek the things that are below. Right. It becomes easy to make everything about the almighty dollar. It's easy to make everything about having what the Johnsons have next door. I'm sorry, Johnsons, amen. Or the Smiths have, Brother Smith, I'm sorry. But anyway, those are the ones that they always name. But anyway, so those people, we always make it about those people. But listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, if we're not careful, that's what our life becomes, a seeking for those things. We spend our time thinking about, listen, do you know how many Americans spend their time thinking about, they drive down a road and they see some jackpot, $1 million, $1 billion. They spend their entire lives, listen, instead of thinking about what they could do for God or how they could invest their life or what they could do, they'll spend hours of their day instead of talking to God, even Christians, thinking about how they'd spend the Powerball money. Can I tell you, that is a waste of your time.
Number one, listen, I'm old-fashioned, all right? My preacher's going to love me for saying this. Listen, you ain't got no business spending God's money on the lottery. Amen. I'll say it again. You ain't got no business spending God's money on the lottery, but if you win, you better tithe off of it. Amen. Amen. That's every good Baptist preacher, right? But I'm just kidding a little bit with it. But I do want to say this. Listen, I've always been scared to play the lottery because I'm afraid I'm going to win and then I'd have to come in and tell preacher I played and then I'm tithing off of it. But I'm just kidding a little bit. But I just, again, tonight I want you to understand this is what we do. We do have those mindset, and we let ourselves so many times rather than being focused on the thing that God gave us to do with our lives. We're focused on so many earthly things. And sometimes, listen, I'll be, young people, and this is not just your generation. We make it out to be you guys so many times. But so many times it's a self. It's looking at self. It's all about something that perishes, something that's quick, something that's trivial. We live in a generation where people, we set our affections on the next phone. Isn't that silly? If we had even talked about that 20 years ago, you're like, how silly is that? Because we'd talk about a corded thing that we drug. I remember a house that we had an 800-foot cord. Amen. I'm going to testify right now. That thing would go all the way through the house and upstairs. Amen. And then when somebody answered, and then they'd have to figure out where you went through the house to get it to them and try to backtrack to where they had to hang it up. Amen and amen. Set your affections. Listen, I'm glad that thing is gone. Amen. Amen. But we have to be careful where we set our affections, not on things on the earth. Look at it, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I looked at that statement, my life is hid with God. Listen, can you imagine? This is, in other words, I want you to picture this. That, in other words, when we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it's true baptism, then what people should see Christ. They should never see me again. Right. I should be hid, picturing the image of Christ. I should live in a way. Listen, I can tell you, even today, I'm not going to tell you where I can see the old man came out, but I want to tell you today, listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, there are times when people could stand and look at me and say, yeah, that's Brother Parsons. And there's other times when I'm gracious and humble and loving and a servant, and they can say, that's Christ. And every one of us, listen, we're every day of our lives, people can see that was of Christ. And I know. Listen, for me, my dad's name is Rex Parsons, so you can say I know exactly where he got that from. I know where DNA stamp that came from. That was not Christ. That was Brother Parsons. Now look at it with me if we can turn on. That's the context of the chapter. And again, he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Amen. That's our hope. We have that. Verse number 5, he tells us how to deal with this. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection. College students, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen, all of us could take one of those things. And listen, it lists these numbers of sins here. But he uses the word mortify. And I thought this was, let me use this tonight if I could. I love the 1828 dictionary. And again, I didn't go back and study the Hebrew and the Greek. I went right to the English and tried to see where the word came from, okay? I believe the English Bible is perfect, so we stuck with that. Amen. I believe that's the word God wanted. And so that word means to subdue, to abase, to humble, to reduce, or to restrain. So I'm supposed to mortify or to restrain my members from doing what it really wants to do and to try to conform it. Again, I try to conform it, but the Bible says I'm supposed to be transformed in the book of Romans. Does it not? Transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I'm not just conforming my flesh, but I'm transforming it into the image of Christ. And he goes on here, this mortify, I love this. The 1828 dictionary had that, all those definition of words to say, and then underneath of it, it said, to mortify thy learned lust. Do you know that in this life, most of us, the Bible even uses this, our besetting sin? Do you know that most of us, there are things that And we're going to get to this at the end of the chapter. But this, most of us learn something that we ought to break ourselves of. It's something that we, because we set our affections in the wrong place and we learn something wrong. This is one of the problems in English, amen? If you learn something wrong, one of the books Miss Harvey gave me that I thought was, I'll be honest with you, for me, to help me restructure my English, it was a book and you did the sentence and you laid it out and then you turned the page and on the next page you saw the answers. So instead of doing a whole page wrong, I did one answer and then I got the answer. And then I could look back and I'd say, I did it wrong. I didn't get the subject of the sentence right. I didn't get the noun. I didn't get the verb. I didn't get the pronoun. I could go back and I'd say, what am I doing wrong? And instead of learning or having to unlearn what I taught myself wrong, I could learn sentence by sentence by sentence. And by the time I got to college anyway, I had a lot of things I learned wrong. But I want you to know this. Listen, young people, listen. I want you all to get, listen, many of us have to mortify ourselves from something we've taught ourselves that we should not be lusting after. Amen. And so we got to get to a place where when we mortify our members, most of the time we've got to unteach ourselves. And listen, and sometimes it's because of something that we were doing before we ever got saved, but a lot of times it's something that we allowed ourselves to get into while we were saved. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of those things, but we have to unlearn those things. We have to mortify our members. Sometimes it's something that you, listen, do you know, and I'm just gonna step on and feel like you're mature tonight. Listen, you know, most of the time we call that an addiction. Okay, that means that you have gotten something. So listen, that means that, you know, if I was that person, I mean, like, you know, if it was a drunk and we'd tell them not to go by the bar anymore. Drive home a different way. Amen? And I'm just telling you, we've got to learn, we've got to teach ourselves that, listen, if we've got a weakness in an area to mortify my members, if I'm going to fall every time when I step, there is a hole. My grill is right there at the end. I've got a dumb dog, all right? And that dumb dog dug a hole right beside my grill. And I don't know why he dug that hole, and I haven't filled it in yet, but I fell twice. You know what I've learned now? I don't walk off that way. I go all the way around that hole. I don't go anywhere near it. I realize it's almost like, to me, I have built a wall in my mind where the hole is. Now, one day I'll get around to filling it up. But most of the time, I just want to get to the grill. All right? And I grill something. I go back inside. But I've taught myself not to fall in the ditch because there's a hole there. And so in our lives and in our Christian lives, so many times, if you're falling and you're falling and you're falling, then don't step in the hole. Build a wall up in your mind. Maybe you need to get a verse in your life, something that God can give you strength to block that thing off in your life so that you can go around it. And every time you see it, oh, there's a hole right there. I can't go that way. I better not go that way. I better not do that because I fall in every time I go that route. Hey, the Bible tells us how to deal with things, and we need to, listen, it's not hard. The Bible, listen, if we would just put the Bible into practice in our lives, then God would change us into the likeness of His Son. The Bible uses this term not only just for Job, but he wants us to be this. He uses this word of perfect or perfectness, and that doesn't mean that we're sinless. It means that complete Christian. God wants every one of us to grow up into a complete, full, and I mean, listen, full of the Word of God. And understanding what God wants us to be in this life. He wants us to grow up. And many of us, this is the problem, many people get to a place, they don't want to grow up. They're a Toys R Us kid. And they want to spend their Christian life there. And my fear is that the majority of Christians today, the depth of their Christianity is not because they can't grow past that. They are fine right where they are. They are wearing the little, whatever that stupid cap was with the pinwheel on the top, and they're happy about it. I'm saved on my way to heaven, and I'm a Toys R Us Christian. I don't want to grow up. I'm saved, and I'm semi-solid, but God wants us to be perfect and complete. So we need to continue for Him, never to be satisfied, seeking those things which are above. A pursuit of those things. Never satisfied with where I am, but digging in the Word of God for what God's going to do with me next. Once He reveals something in His Word, I pounce on that and I get that complete. I add it to my life. Listen, it would be like one of you men that love your car or love your old truck. Man, you know what I'm talking about? I had a truck, man. I loved that truck. It was my very first truck. It was a 1979 Chevrolet Silverado step side. It had a straight six. It was not something anyone should love. Amen. I rectified that with a 350 very soon after that. But we put that thing. I loved that truck. It was like primer gray. It was nothing to look at, but I washed it all the time. I swept it out. I went to see my girlfriend, who is now my wife, in that thing. And I thought it was something with the V6. Vroom, 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 vroom. Amen. I mean, it was, you know. But I mean, you know, I wanted to add things. I remember I got that thing. It had them old stock wheels on it, old steel wheels. And so I had somebody that got to a place where they had, you know, they bought these tires and rims that would fit my truck, and they were planning on building their truck, but they never got in around to it. And I took those rims at a discounted price off of their hands, and I added them to my truck. And my truck, even though it was primer gray and it sounded like vroom vroom and it didn't really have a lot of go, it looked a lot better with those. I mean, it had nice outlaw rims on it, and I mean, I was proud of them Pirelli tires. Some of you are laughing because I don't even know if they're around anymore, amen? But I put them on, you know, and I mean, I put them on there, and I thought I was something with these new tires. And then I added the next thing, and I was redneck, so the whip antenna was next, amen? And it went all the way from the back bumper to the front bumper, amen? I could tie it down. I could get like 6 to 8s with that thing. I mean, breaker, breaker, 1.9, amen? 4, you know, 10.4, good buddy. I mean, you know, I mean, I thought I had something. But listen, in our lives, listen, the way we get consumed with the things that are below, we ought to be that consumed in our Christian life. Listen, that once we add something to our Christian life, we're seeking what's next. God, what's next for me? What else can I add to this thing? Listen, ladies, it might not be vehicle, but I found that ladies are like that with their house. You know, they can't never have enough junk, I mean stuff, I mean knickknacks or whatever, you know, decorations. They can't ever have enough stuff in their house, or they're changing it. It's a good thing that I'm not blind. My wife is pretty good to me, but the furniture moves enough, I'd be in trouble. You know, I don't think I could get a pattern memorized between the house. She's not that bad. Hopefully she'll stay with me after tonight. Anyway, so... Amen. And but I mean, how to deal in this Christian life. And that's going to be huge for us if we can just get down seeking what God has for us and adding it to our Christian life. But then he says this, jump with me because of my time's sake, if you would. We'll read verse 6 just because I think it's worth. And this is how God deals with us as his children. For which things? And he talks about all these things that we need to mortify our members from. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He's not talking about those that are out in the world. He's talking about, the wrath of God will come on them. But listen, do you realize children of God can do these things as well? And if you don't think God won't listen, this is one of those things. If you want to make everything in the Bible about wrath against a time of wrath and use that word wrath for a time of place, listen, God is mad with sin every day. Every day. The wrath of God is getting stored up every day to be poured out on this world. And he says here, listen, jump down with me if you would to verse number 12. I mean, we could do the whole chapter, but just for time's sake tonight, if you'd look at verse number 12, and we'll kind of give you some points as we go through. He says, put on therefore, because of the context, because of mortifying our members, because we are buried with Christ. Listen, we're risen with Christ. We're dead and our life is hid and with Christ and God. All those things that we said in the beginning of the chapter, now put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now listen, it's easy to read, but it's hard to do. And the Bible here, how to deal in our lives. Listen, He tells us about this, that we need to be seeking as Christians. Those are things that are general statements that will help us keep on point. When I was in the farm, when I farmed and I was in the field, we used to take and set a point because we wanted to get somewhere and we knew where we wanted to go. So we'd hold that point. We'd have a destination in mind and we'd hold course until we got there. And so we need to see that we have a better country. We need to seek the things that are above and hold the course and have that as our mindset. But now we take this and but we're not the only ones in the field. Okay, there's other people out there working in the field. And listen, if you're not careful, listen, do you realize if you just drove on the road like nobody else was on the road, you'd be in an accident before long. You don't need to just watch what you're doing. You got to watch what everybody else is doing. When we go on vacation, my daughter is very young. She's not even in double digits, but now she prays for not only that daddy will drive well, but everyone else will as well that's around him. Because she realizes that, you know, sometimes when dad swerves, it isn't because dad is falling asleep. It's because somebody is in my lane. And listen, in the Christian life, somebody's going to get in your lane. Somebody is just going to text or be on their cell phone. Somebody is just not going to be paying attention to anything about how they are dealing with you. And they are going to get all in your lane. And you are going to have to be an aggressive driver. You may have to swerve. It may change everything about your life. But God tells us how. Listen, because he's going to talk about the peace of God in just a few verses. But he tells us to forgive them. It's not easy to do that. But I mean, we just need to let it go. I mean, we just got to get to a place where we just forgive. He goes through the process and he says here, put on therefore. But you know, again, this part about mortifying our members, that idea of dying to self has been preached from the beginning of time. That idea of that, listen, it's the same today. You can't offend a dead guy. So again, if we apply that to this area of Scripture, it says, and he goes farther than that to say this in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any. So listen, not just forgiving, but forbearing. That idea is like, in other words, that person is irritating constantly. Forbearing them. You ever had somebody just come up into you in church and just bug you? I mean, it's almost irritating for them to be around you. But you put a smile on anyway. For Christ's sake, and smile and try to be the Christian that you ought to be, even though it's irritating. And it could be me. I know some of you are smiling. I'm thinking it'd be. But anyway, but I mean, that person, whoever that person is, that you ought, listen, we ought to forbear, not just forgive, but bear. Forbear them. And going on, he says, why, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We as Christians, listen, if we're going to deal with others, we have to be a forgiving person. Amen. Christ, listen, Christ is who we ought to be growing up to be. And if we're going to be more and more like Christ and have the peace of God ruling and reigning in our hearts, this is the beginning of it. You can't harbor anything inside. You say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I mean, really, I mean, not only just forgiving them for past, but I mean, forgive them for the future too. Amen. That's what forbearing is. That means just, I mean, listen, how would you put it, Brother Parsons, how would you put it down where the rubber meets the road? It's a turn the other cheek mentality. Listen, you gave me a good one right here. Hey, how about this side too? I expect when I walk in to see you that you're just going to hit me again. You know, you say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, people are like that. And sometimes they don't even know they are. Sometimes until you can get their heart or until they grow up a little bit in Christ, they don't realize they're like that. And so we forbear and we forgive for Christ's sake. He goes on, and above all these things, put on charity. So now not only are we forbearing, but now we're getting ready. We're putting on our garments. You ever been in a battle? We went to a youth rally, and some of the guys that are here tonight competed in a boxing match. And they didn't let them get all beat up, but they prepared. They put on some things. They put on boxing gloves. See, in the Christian life, that's, you're not planning on swinging back. Okay, so that's forgiveness. Open palms, amen. But knowing that you're going to get hit, if I knew every time I came into church I was going to get hit, sparring partner, they have this headgear, you know? Put on the headgear, it's got pads all around it. Football, they have a helmet. You know you're going to get hit, so put the helmet on. And so again, for us, the helmet of salvation. You know, every time you're around another Christian, the Bible gives us that. You know, it's so easy for me to deal with people when I realize that I don't deserve any better than what they gave me. When I realize that if I got what I deserved, I'd burn in hell. So I pull on the helmet of salvation. The Bible here calls it charity. It's, you know, you say, Brother Parsons, well, the helmet of salvation isn't charity. I'm here to tell you, when I think about my salvation, I think about the love of my Savior.
Amen. That's right.
Listen, he loved me enough to go all the way to pay for everything that I know that I've done. And then I look at it and I see you, and that's a lot that you did. And I mean, listen, I'm here to tell you, when I put on the helmet of salvation, I feel the love of God. Listen, I think of charity. I want to give that back to others. And I can put up with some things. And listen, he says this, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That being complete. That robe, if you would, or whether you want to call it headgear, whatever picture you want to put in your mind of the love of God, putting on charity, realizing that you're going to need it, putting on the love of Christ, putting on not charity like the world thinks and giving a handout to people, but true love, the Christ-given love, not love that's looking for anything in return, not worried about how it's going to get hurt, not worried about all of those things, but only worried about the recipient of the love that they're giving.
Amen.
And that's the bond of perfectness. You want people to really see Christ in you, then you robe yourself in charity.
Amen.
Expecting to be hurt, but expecting not to lash back. Expecting to have to forbear some things and forgive some things in this life. Wouldn't it help us if we, I mean, listen, the Bible talks about a humbleness and honor, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to run like a rabbit in the next few minutes, but I hope that you can, I set this up, but that is how we're supposed to deal with others. Now, how am I supposed to deal with myself? Because I'm my biggest trouble. It sounded like others are bad, but the worst person I got to deal with every day is me. So I have to do these things. The Bible says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That means I have to submit. The old man versus the new man that we began with, it means that I have to wrestle with myself. It's one thing to forgive and forbear, but now I've got to wrestle with me every day and say, no, I'm not going to get in the flesh. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart.
Amen.
I'm going to let it. I'm going to be submissive to the new man, and I'm going to make the old man be quiet, and I'm going to give myself to the peace of God. I'm going to let it rule and reign in the heart that I have, that God wants me to be able. It's going to be that bond of charity. It's going to be seen in that perfectness. I'm going to let it rule in my heart, to which he says, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Amen.
Isn't that crazy? That thankfulness. I'm going to have to let myself, but then after I let the peace of God rule in my heart, I want to say thank you, Lord. Once I feel that calm, once I fought the fight and I've made myself submit and the peace of God reigns in my heart, I am thankful.
Amen.
Do you know we can get a critical eye about everything? I mean, we're just out of the gate. We haven't even started college, but we started day school. If we're not careful, we won't be thankful for what God gave us here.
Right.
We'll get a critical spirit about everything. Because if you're honest with yourself, listen, we ought to always be seeking to improve and be better than we were yesterday. We ought to add things and have better. But listen, we ought never get to a place where we just sit there and be critical about what we don't have.
Right.
Or about what it should be.
Amen.
Or what it could have been. We could what-if ourselves to death. But we got to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and trust God that he knows better than we do. And let him, God, and let him rule and reign in our hearts.
Amen.
Then it says, look on with me. That's not the only let that we got to give ourselves. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
Do you know a lot of times why the peace of God doesn't stick very long is because we don't back it up with the word of God.
Yep.
It's hard to have the peace of God when there's no word of God to bring peace. See, the salvation that we get, that is the beginning of the peace of God ruling. It cuts down the enmity that was between me and God. But without the word of God to constantly feed and fuel the peace of God in our lives, the peace of God doesn't wear off, but it's That peace that's brought to my life, if I'm growing as a Christian, it's helpful when the Word of God is reminding me every day.
Amen.
That's why it's good for you to have a life verse.
Amen.
A place for you to dig in and say, this is what God, this is mine. This is what God spoke to me. Can I submit this to you tonight? I probably had 5 life verses. Because when I was a child, I thought like a child. And my spiritual father in the faith didn't know what verse to pick. And so he had a life verse, and I took his as mine. And when I grew up in the faith a little bit, I found another one that I thought was mine. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I grew up a little bit farther, and I took another one. And I took another. And listen, as I progressed, listen, I let the Word of God, look at it with me. He says this, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then we use this one on our radio station a lot, don't we? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All of a sudden, every time I'm forbearing, it becomes a teaching moment in my life. When I'm not criticizing, but I'm giving scripture. When the Word of Christ dwells in me richly, instead of criticizing, I use Bible. The Word of God jumps out of me. Hey, and if something needs to be corrected, it doesn't take long. The Bible corrects it right there and then.
Amen.
Now, if they don't get it right, listen, I'm just telling you, this is an evaluation I've made from the Word of God. Listen, when the Word of God, when the peace of God is ruling in your heart, you'll be wanting the Word of God to back all those things up.
Amen.
And instead of just telling somebody about your feelings because of your affections, you'll have Bible. Bible will be built up in that place. And instead of feelings, it'll be Christ, who is our life, the beginning of the chapter said. It goes on to say this. He deals with everything. We're going to run. Listen now. He talks about all these spiritual songs. Listen, how about for the Word of God, a good spiritual song in the day? Listen, the tough times of my life, I like to sing through those times. I like to listen to good music. Good music. Listen, our radio station is a good thing to listen to in the tough times of the day because you can sing along. And listen, even when you feel like the old man is starting to inch out, then all of a sudden something about God saving you or His grace or His goodness to us, it begins to help us get back and let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And he goes on, and he doesn't just let us deal with others and deal with ourselves, but then he goes on and he lets us deal with our position. Every one of us have a position in the home and where we live and what's going on, and he goes in detail. The Word of God is not, listen, it wants us to know these things. In verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. And listen, now he's going to dive into what our position is. That's how we're supposed to go. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Not talking about what's behind, but what's coming. 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Can you see what everything said before? Listen, you know it'd help you as a husband. Listen, you say, I'm not going to get bitter with my wife. Listen, you got Word of God to put it. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and let the Word of God dwell in you richly.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm getting a little bit bitter in this area of my life. Listen, the Bible commands me not to be bitter, so I better get it right. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Listen, I'm not trying to be some preacher that's up here. Wives, submit. Listen, you know what? Sometimes it's just good to let those things, and then here the Bible says, and look, it says yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Listen, I wouldn't want anything for you other than what God built you for and what God says fits for you.
Amen.
It's fit for them. And then he goes on and he says, children, obey your parents in all things. Covering the gamut, our position. Listen, he dealt with all these things of how to deal with our lives, and now he's saying, and he's dealing with each one. Then he goes into he's skipped wives, husbands. He's going through that. Children, now, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I'm here to tell you, listen, we need that. You know, so how many times as a father I've been upset with my children because of disobedience, but I have to be careful of how I deal with the situation. Doesn't mean that I don't still bring the rod of correction, but I got to be careful that I don't provoke my children to anger. that I deal with them in a way that's right and pleasing unto the Lord. In the Bible, listen, you say, well, listen, you know people that say, oh, you ought not beat your kids. They don't balance Scripture with Scripture. The Bible doesn't just say if we're going, supposed to go in there and spank them. It tells us how to deal with the situations. It tells us not to provoke our children to anger. So it doesn't just in wrath and going in and spanking our children. It means that I'm supposed to have, listen, some discernment of God. Do you know, I believe that every father that decides that they want the best for their children, listen, they don't want, there's not been a time. I used to think my dad enjoyed beating me. I really did. I remember the night he said, boy, come here. I'm going to warm up on you. I mean, he had them lined up, and I was first. I was the oldest. Come on, boy. And I used to think, man, he'd say, I love you. I said, I wish I could love you back. Amen. But I remember being the daddy and having to do it the first time. And having, listen, taking no pleasure in that whatsoever. But because I loved my children, I did those things. Trying to sometimes explain to them, very young, explain to them why. And how this that they were doing displeased my God and their God. Can I tell you tonight, listen, I understand. Listen, we've got to deal. It tells us how to deal with our position. He says, children, fathers, look, he even deals with you. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The Bible hits the gamut. Talking about not with eye service as men pleasers, and you can apply this to your work, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever. He repeats it. Listen, if you don't get anything else but tonight, you ought to get that in the same area of Scripture, he repeats, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. What I mean, how much better would Christians be in the workplace and in everything that they do if they just gave it their all in everything they did? You say, well, that's old timey. That's not old time. That's a Bible trait. And the depth of our Christianity today reflects that people don't do things heartily unto the Lord anymore. Laziness is not a Christ-like trait. And if we, listen, we would do well to get back to the things that the Bible teaches us. And then the why. Why should I learn these things, or why don't things like that? And then the Bible finishes up the chapter knowing. Why would I do everything? And he says, knowing. As a Christian, this is the problem. A lot of us don't understand or don't fathom it, but knowing in verse 24 that the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respecter of persons. You say, well, Brother Parsons, it's under the blood. I'm here to tell you. All right. He said, Brother Parsons, don't mess it up now. I'm done, but listen to this. If you think when you get to heaven that everybody's going to have it exactly the same way, you've got a new thing coming. All right? Every one of us. You know all those different things. And everybody that's saved is getting in. All right? But there's a difference between someone that's saved and someone that's in the church. There's a difference between somebody when you get to heaven that's somebody that's saved and in the church and serving. There's going to be a difference. Listen, I'm here to tell you, say, well, Brother Parsons, our sins are under the blood. They are. But listen, I don't know about you. I mean, we've talked about this over and over again, and we've talked about the crowns that we'll receive. Listen, I want to get to heaven, and I want to have, listen, I realize it, and I know it's in a different passage of Scripture, but bear with me, and I know I'm over time, but you know, you got nowhere to be except for Walmart, so come on. So here, amen, so here we are, and I want to stand before Christ, and I realize that a lot of the things that I've worked for in this life, some of the things I've even done for Christ, the Bible said some of them are going to be, you know, wood, hay, and stubble, and some are going to be precious stone, gold, and silver. And I realize that only the fire of God is going to tell and reveal, even for myself, that I'm not really going to be honest with me enough to realize until the fire judges my works before Christ, what's going to make it through. And I'll be honest with you tonight. I remember as a young teenager, I won people to Christ before I was even saved. If I think I'm going to get anything for that, you got another thing coming. They'll be there. If they ask Christ to come in their heart, they'll be there with me, but I'll get no reward for that. Can I tell you this? Listen, there are other things I did just because I wanted to be seen of men. And I, listen, I'll have nothing to lay at Jesus' feet when the fire gets done for those things. You say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I mean that motive matters. Set your affections on things that are above. Do it heartily unto the Lord. There'll be no trophies for half-hearted bus work. There'll be no trophies for just showing up so somebody could see you on Thursday night. There'll be no trophies. Listen, I'm just telling you, listen. I'm not trying to discourage you, church. I'm trying to encourage you to set your affections on things that are above. I'm looking at a balance. Some young people and some that are gray-haired. Listen, those of you that are finishing up, listen, go home strong. Finish strong. Don't lay down now. Don't become a used to. I used to do. I got somebody that's on my heart, breaks my heart. The last time I talked to him, I used to do that. You say, Brother Parsons, I can't. Listen, I understand. Everybody, listen, I'm not talking about getting out. I'm just saying, in other words, there's something you can do. And young people, be careful that you don't half-heartedly do things in this life. You teenagers, don't go soul winning because you go soul winning. Go soul winning because God commanded you to go soul winning. Amen. Go soul winning with everything you got in your heart. Think about it before you just go out. Pray about it during the week. Invest yourself in the things of God. With your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, we're not going to have an altar call. It was a Bible study tonight. I want to pray and we'll be dismissed. We're already over time, but I beg you, listen tonight, with everything that I am, that you'll set your affections on things that are above. Would you stand with me tonight as we pray, church? And we'll be dismissed when I finish, but I beg you tonight, listen, when we leave here, your focus will be on the Savior and the things that are above. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your word. I thank you how it tells us how we ought to deal with the other brethren that are around us. Thank you for reminding us that our life is hid with Christ. Help us to live that way. I beg you that you'd help our church, dear God. Help us to constantly, as a church body, to be putting away fruit for that day that you'll call us home. I beg you tonight that you'll be with us. Help us to set our affections on things that are above. Help our church this week, dear God. I pray for the rest of their week. I pray you'll be with them, protect them, and help them, dear God, to live for you this week. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.